we still do not have the meaning of the transformation of water into wine. We've had a preliminary to it, and that's what we hope now to come to. I'd like to take you to the Mount of Transfiguration and to see there that John and James and Peter are privileged to be present at an unusual event, an event which at the time it occurs perhaps escapes them in its true meaning. Nonetheless, it was a very necessary part of their experience, so that after the crucifixion and the resurrection, they would understand what had happened. Now watch carefully as they are told to open their eyes, and they see not Jesus at all. The physical Jesus isn't there, but rather they're looking at light. His raiment was transfigured. They were looking at a different Jesus than the one they knew. They were looking at him who had said, "I am the light," and lo and behold, there he was as light. Now, think carefully. What had happened? Do you believe that Jesus had done something to himself so that now he was light? Or do you believe that he had raised the disciples up in consciousness so that they could see him as he was? Now, if you can see that nothing had really happened to him, but rather they, having been lifted in consciousness, were now seeing him as he was, as he proclaimed himself to be, as he proclaimed all men to be, they were now quickened of the Spirit. And in this quickening, they could see truth. Now let's go back to Cana at Galilee with this in mind. And I want you to see that Jesus did not change water into wine. But rather, did he do something to those who were present so that they found in that water qualities they never knew were there. I warned you there was a shocker. There is no real confirmation of the fact that Jesus changed water to wine. He never said he did. At one time later, when John the Baptist wanted to know if Jesus was the Messiah, the Christ they expected, he said, "Go tell John what has happened." The hungry are fed and the sick are healed and the dead are raised. He could have said, "I changed water to wine too," but he didn't. Now, if you will come back to that feast and see how unlikely it would be for a man of God to take a groggy, half-reeling festive audience and make wine out of water for them to get drunker. But instead, he very simply said, "Fill the 6 water pots with water." And now, when they drank the water, it was they who said, "My, this is wonderful wine." It wasn't Jesus. And it wasn't wine. The same experience had occurred there that occurred to Peter, John, and James. They had been lifted, quickened of the Spirit to see truth. And here, the governor of the feast was quickened of the Spirit to see that this was an unusual water. He was drinking the living water. He was perceiving that water for the first time in his life with his soul. And the rest of the guests did likewise. They were quickened. Now then, it's only when you can begin to perceive this inner quickening of the Spirit, which changes that which is in front of you into something else, that you can get the true miracle that happened that day. There is in every individual a quality which, when it is brought up, changes that which you would normally experience in the human sphere and changes earth to heaven. That transformation takes place when this quality in you is lifted up, and in that lifting of this quality within you, your senses are quickened, your perception is quickened, your inner knower is awake and alive. Instead of seeing with the human eye, you see with the inner vision. Instead of hearing with the outer ear, you hear with the inner ear. Water doesn't change to wine. Nothing changes, but you change. And in your change, the outer changes with your inner change. And you know, someday, as the truth of this becomes known, you're going to see the reason why the Bible tells us how to get rid of cancer, how to get rid of every disease on the face of the earth, how to get rid of accidents. You're going to see why in the Bible there is that which removes the appearances which are not present in the kingdom of God. When our Father looked at his creation, he pronounced it very good. Do you think for one moment there is a power to change that? His creation is still very good. But we, through our sense perceptions, through that glass darkly of that human mind, we have seen something else. And that something else that we have seen is called this world. As long as the babe remains in the manger, we see this world. But when we are able, like the wise men, to come to this babe with gifts and say, "Rise up within me, show me the secret where I can look and drink water and it'll taste like wine. Show me the secret where I can see a leper, but he isn't a leper anymore. Show me the secret where I can look out at those things which appear to be one thing, often evil, and through some magic transformation within me, they no longer are there as evil. The storm is quieted. The multitudes are fed. The inner demons are discarded from the insane mind." It's the same as changing water to wine. It's the finding within of that Christ Spirit, and then the inner transformation brings about the outer realization of the kingdom of God on earth. I believe this is closer to the meaning of water and wine than we have come in the past. Now, this is the way we must go about studying the Bible. It is not enough to read it as we have done for centuries. It is not enough to memorize it as we have done for centuries. But we must find within it a quintessence, a seed of truth, which, when this becomes a living truth within us, will lead us into a promised land. Now, starting with tonight, it is imperative that we accept the Bible as law, and that we face the simple fact that we have been unaware of the nature of that law. You may be sure, if every one of our ancestors knew the law of the Bible as it was intended, we today wouldn't have a Vietnam. We wouldn't have an overpopulation crisis or an anti-poverty program. We wouldn't know the difference between white, black, red, and yellow any more than our garden knows it, where all the flowers of all the colors perfectly in harmony, all the birds of all the colors are perfectly in harmony. It has been nothing but a mistranslation of the law. We have, in our superficial way, presume that Jesus was talking to a sort of a semi-idiot who had to be told, don't kill, don't steal, who had to be lifted into a state of being a very happy and good Boy Scout. We have failed to see that buried within his message was that which liberates us from all of the beliefs which have held us in bondage to fear, disease, death, lack, limitation. There isn't an evil on the face of the earth from which we cannot be released. Once we have found these seeds of truth, planted them in consciousness, and walk out and live them. Now, how can you obey this law if you don't know it? Why, if you went to England to drive today, you'd have a long time getting used to driving on the other side of the car. And if you went to a country where the signs were in a foreign language, it wouldn't be long before a gendarme or whatever the local police force was up behind you saying, pull over. You would break the law because you didn't know the law. Your intentions would be great. But in spite of your intentions, you would break the law. And for 2,000 years, mankind has broken the law, with the best of intentions in many cases, simply by our ignorance of the fact that here is the living Word of God, not a nursery rhyme, not a Peter Grimm's fairy tales, but the Word of God presented through the illumined minds of certain men, who in turn say, go forth and do likewise. And you will discover that this living Bible, which you have in your home, is not the end of the Bible by any means. The Bible is meant to live within you and to be freshly received every day. You know, God, being the power of creation and the law of creation and the activity of creation, didn't leave any stones unturned. You may be sure that there is a communication between the Father and the Son. You may be sure that communication system is flawless. You may be sure that it is functioning in you every minute of your life. And you may also be sure that when you learn the art of tuning into it, the Bible will become within you a living daily communion with God. Now, this is what's going to come out of a study of the mystical Bible. I'll read you some of the things we hope to discuss. To some of you, they should be well known by now. To some, What is the real Immaculate Conception? We're going to have to know that. Will there be a second coming of Christ? We're going to have to understand that. What is the Christ mission on earth? Where is God? Where is heaven? Where did Jesus go after ascension? What is the mystical meaning of crucifixion, resurrection, ascension? What did Paul mean when he said when he talked of a temple eternal in the heavens, not made with hands? What about Jesus' teaching? Did he teach pre-existence? Did he teach reincarnation, transition? When is prayer effective? Where is the divine image and likeness that was created in the image of God, called man? Is it the man we see on the street? Or is there a spiritual man we still have to learn to meet? Can you break the law of cause and effect, called karma in the East? Is dominion a dream, a promise? Or is it attainable? What is the meaning of I am the light? Can you attain a transcendental consciousness? These are some of the subjects we must discuss, and we must get them not from your opinion or mine, but from the words of Jesus, Paul, Peter, John. And finally, what is the mission of man? What is the purpose of your life? Are you here for 70? What is the meaning of to know God aright is life eternal? Is it possible for us to reach that state of consciousness in which life eternal for us is a reality? Now, these are the things we want to discuss. We're going to stay in the book of John for a while. We're going to discuss the miracles. We're going to try to understand not what the world has seen as a recorded historical fact, but rather that which is being taught to the spirit in man, to raise that spirit up, to dissolve the mortal sense, to lift us into an at-one-ment with the Father. Now, you may learn something about this silence as you go. Some places call it meditation. And even those of us who have attained some measure of an ability to meditate, to be silent, to be at one with the Father, we all have a long way to go. And you're going to discover that the reason we have a long way to go is that you cannot find the depth of meditation, of silence, of communion with God until you know truth. Truth is the lever. Truth is like a key in the lock. It turns that little something in there, and now the door can open. When you go into a silence to listen to your Father, if you have not been able first to enter with the key of truth, you'll discover your silence is a meaningless charade. Nothing happens there except a barrenness. But once you are able to spade out the truth, the deep truth, the real truth, that which is called the living waters, you discover this quickens your spirit. And as the spirit is quickened, You have that which was shown in the transfiguration on the mount, that which was shown in the water and the wine. You're lifted higher. You're vibrating at a new rate. And then the incoming light, the outgoing light, there's a meeting at a level which they can mesh. There's no friction. There's no barrier. There's no two levels of light. And suddenly you're one with the light of God. You're illuminated. And lo and behold, you discover that there is no such place as heaven in the far away, heaven in tomorrow, or heaven in some other place that we haven't yet discovered. You find that heaven is a level of awareness which comes to you when you are lifted into this light. Then you say to yourself, why, this is heaven. This is the kingdom of God. And now I see him as he is. Now I see that which is instead of that which is not. You're going to hear a lot of that is and that is not. Because that which God created is, and that which we, through our senses, have recreated, is not. To separate the tares from the wheat, the is from the is not, the truth from the illusion, the kingdom of heaven from this world of earth, that is the purpose of these keys of truth, this law handed down, to take you through that narrow place which few can enter, but which the babe can enter, because the babe is the way. That babe rising within you says, I am the way. Follow me. I will take you by a way called the Christ, and I will lead you to my Father's house. And as you abide there in the shadow of the Almighty, the fears, the tribulations, the trials, the problems of this world cannot come nigh thy dwelling. And if you believe on these works that I have demonstrated through my Son Jesus, within you I shall do these very same works. This is mystical Bible. It's true of every great scripture in the world, not only of this New Testament, not only of the Old Testament. It's true of the great scriptures of all great religions, if you could see that they are all identical, all revealing the inner spirit which dwells within every man on earth. And when you look at a Buddha, a Jesus, a Lao Tzu, a John, a Paul, a Peter, an Isaiah, you're looking at the Spirit of God made manifest. Why are these men different than us? Do you know any reason? They are only different because they have permitted the Spirit to dwell within them. Oh, you might say they've been chosen. Why are we not chosen? Because we were that busy innkeeper. And those innkeeping days are over for most of us. We have learned that there is a living spirit that walks the face of the earth. And it knocks on the door of every human consciousness and says, let me in. When you learn the secret of opening your consciousness to that spirit, it enters you, it leads you, it guides you, it perfects things that concern you, it appoints you, it ordains you, it initiates you, it takes you into the mansions of the Father. There's not a word that I have to say to you that isn't in your Bible. There's not a word that anyone will ever say to you that hasn't been said through the mystical intervention of Jesus. But now we must see there is not merely a physical man or one alone who was chosen, but rather there is one who has accepted the reality of his being and is saying to you, as I have done, you can do likewise. Turn ye, follow me. Where you are seeing water, begin to realize there's something else there. And the reason that something else is there is that the Spirit of God is right where that water appears to be. And when that Spirit of God is realized within you, then you're in the living waters, above the firmament as well as below. And then your experience on the human plane is translated into a divine experience while you walk the face of the earth. Then is the Son of Man the Son of God. Then is the Christ risen within you. Now, if you catch that elusive something demonstrated there, you can see that this transforming power is within you. There is within you a power which, when renewed, transforms you from the man of earth to the living Son of God. That power is called the Christ. That Christ was revealed by Buddha, by Lao Tzu, by Jesus, by Krishna, by Shankara. That Christ is revealed by people sitting in this room. People who have attained an awareness of their reality. People who can go forth and do likewise. People who can stand in the midst of the storm and say, peace, be still, it is I. They are in our midst. And this truth beckons to each one of us as we open the inner ear and hear the inner teaching and let the water of our lives be transformed into the wine of spirit. That will be our work for the next 10 weeks. We'll end with a quiet silence, which is really a thank you, Father. Thank you experience is transformed into wine by the realization that the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Our next meetings are going to be in a smaller room. I didn't expect this large a crowd, incidentally. And I am hopeful that it will be a very important series for all of you who feel a kinship with this type of message. Thanks very much.